Chapter. In addition to his work at the Unusual of Woodmere, which so many of you know or are close with him, and obviously previously the White Shul, Morris Overstein, who recognizes Count Vogel for any of us. Karen's husband wasn't professional. What? That's not my husband. And getting to know Shai over the years, I always tell everyone that I'm so privileged that my parents have the zechut of being Rabbi Shai's parents' friend. It's like unbelievable when I tell them, yeah, my father's friendly with Rabbi Shai. Like, no, he's not friendly with Rabbi Shai. Nobody's friendly with Rabbi Shai. No, my father and mother are literally friends with his parents. It's like amazing. So I consider him family. And to understand his talent, you have to get to know him in a way that is just incredible, because his talents go far beyond the shul. People can call him. My wife is very, very involved in an organization called YU Connect. And she spends 24/7 working on Shachanus. Even lost his teacher. Not supposed to. And even through that, Rabbi Shai is connected. And through so much work in the community at large, he's able to make connections with thousands and thousands of people because of one talent that I'm in awe of him. He truly cares. He's not just a brilliant Talmid Chacham that shares his Torah. He's someone that from his heart cares about people and emotionally connects with thousands and thousands of people. So it's a great zechut this morning to call upon Rabbi Shai to share with us in prison.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Rabbi Lantman. I'm really very privileged and very honored to be here together with everyone. I know you have an entire day scheduled and a lot of very exciting activities, so I really don't want to take too much of your time. I was scheduled just to be the start off of the program, and I hope you have a very meaningful and enjoyable rest of your day as well. I don't need to tell anybody here that selecting the profession of chinuch, of education, was not an easy choice for any of us. And I could say any of us, I include myself. I know I don't teach in an elementary school, but I'm also in the world of chinuch a little bit. I don't need to tell anyone about the complex and complicated challenges that all of us face together as a group of dedicated educators, mechanchim, mechanchos, giving our lives to the children that we try to inspire. And we're all familiar with the attention spans that seem to be getting shorter and shorter, the general sense of apathy in the community as a whole, the completely upside-down world that we now inhabit, the bullying and the depression and the anxiety of so many of our students, as we all are familiar, and the enormous responsibility that is placed on our shoulders as educators. The pressures that we sometimes feel from board members, from parents, from former students, from colleagues, add to that reality that we're living in an era and a world of social media, and at any given moment, we are all very acutely aware of the fact that there could be, and there probably is, an active WhatsApp chat group that is talking about nothing other than us, and scrutinizing every decision or every word that we may have said in a classroom setting. It's very difficult, and it's a tremendous amount of pressure, and there is nothing smooth or simple at all about the jobs that we do, and yet we continue to come into work every single day, day in and day out, knowing that this is what we're in for, knowing that it's complicated. We continue to educate, we continue to inspire, we continue to be patient, and we continue to provide opportunities for every one of our students, for every one of our children, with boundless love and tremendous dedication and appreciation for who they are. So why do we do this? Why would we sign up to doing anything like this? Who really needs this headache in their lives? Is there anybody here who is lacking headaches? Why do we do this? Why do we come to educate? Why do we come to teach in a school when we know how complicated it is? Why do we devote our lives to a profession that none of us are making a lot of money on, we all know that, where there are so many struggles, where there are so many complications, where we have so much pressure. And what I'd like to do this morning is simply spend a few minutes reminding ourselves together, just learning about how noble, how honorable this profession is. What is our purpose? What is our mission? Why are we here? What are we doing? And why it's so critically important for the community to have a body and a group of people like all of you and all of us who are here together, spending the day reminding ourselves of this point. So number one, just by way of introduction, I gave out a sheet. If anyone wants to follow, you don't have to. I know it's in Hebrew. Not everybody has to follow along. Everything will be translated into English as well, so you have no reason to be concerned. There is no entity in the world that is as great as God himself. And we don't have the capacity to fully appreciate the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God's existence. We have no way of really internalizing what he means, what his reality is all about. If we as human beings believe that every moment of our life that we are blessed and privileged to have is valuable, and we understand that we have to make an accounting for every minute of our day and make sure that it is spent wisely, imagine how treasured and how valued God's time is. It must be extremely valuable. It must be that every moment in his daily schedule is very carefully measured. So we look at a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara gives a detailed accounting of exactly what God does every hour of the day. I'm not going to bore you with the details. We don't have to go through everything. But let me just go through what the Gemara says. Let's look together at a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Yehuda, Yud Beis Shos Havei Hayom. The day is comprised of 12 hours. A perfect day is a 12-hour day, a 12-hour night. So what does God do in those 12 hours? You know, imagine if we would ask ourselves, what do we do in the 12 hours of the day? So the Gemara says that there's a very careful schedule that God follows every single day. The first hour, the Gemara says, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'osik BaTorah. There is nothing greater than studying Torah. So the first hour is always dedicated to studying Torah. God gets up in the morning. Obviously, he doesn't go to sleep at night. He's looking after us in the morning and the night. He's always there for us. So the first hour of the day, God dedicates himself to learn Torah. Then what? Says the Gemara Shnios, Yoshev Adonis Kol Olam Kula. The second hour of the day, God judges all of humanity. He has to review everything that happened yesterday, progress reports. He has to see where we're holding, where we're going. What are people supposed to have today? He makes an accounting of where the world is up to. Then the Gemara skips ahead and says, what does he do in the fourth hour of the day? Revios mahu oseh. In the fourth hour, what does he do? You know what he does? Look carefully at the Gemara where you'll see. Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu melame tinoka shav Yisrael. God spends an hour a day, every single day, teaching young children. Now, actually, Rashi explains what it's referring to is children who unfortunately passed away when they were young and don't have the opportunity to be taught by their parents or their educators here. God takes care of them and God teaches them. God learns with them. I've shared this many times with parents who have lost children. I know it doesn't give comfort and it doesn't bring the child back. But to think about the fact that God spends his time every day with those children, giving them his attention and studying with them. But the point that I'm trying to bring out here in this context is that chinuch is an activity, that education of young children is something that the Ribono Shel Olam himself considers to be worthy of his time. And God's time is extremely valuable. And every day he takes out of his schedule to make sure that he is involved in educating children. Because spending our day educating children is something that is indeed the most dignified and the most magnificent way to invest of our time. The Gemara Bava Basra quotes a pasuk in Sefer Daniel. So you can look on your sheet where you have it, a very obscure pasuk, as many of the psukim in Daniel are hard to understand, where the pasuk tells us the Navi describes something, but we don't know exactly what it means. Hamaskilim yaziru kizera harakia. There are intelligent people who are going to shine and illuminate the world as the galaxies illuminate the world. Umatznike harabim, and those who bring merit to the public. Kikochavim la'olam vaed. They are going to be like stars that are never going to extinguish. Stars are always shining bright at night. So the Gemara wonders, what is this a reference to? Who is like the star that is shining in the middle of the night? Who is that Matzdike HaRabim, the one who brings merit to the public? Who is this a reflection of? To which the Gemara responds, this is Malamdei Tinokos. These are the people who spend their days teaching children. Those are the Matzdike HaRabim. Those are the ones whose stars will forever shine. Why is that? Because you understand that you're investing in the incipient stages of somebody's life, and you know where that investment is going. You know that that is not a one-time investment. That is something that is going to shine and is going to give back the dividends for decades and decades after they don't even remember your name anymore. But we all know, being in this profession, we all know very well that everything that we invest in them will be everlasting, because we're shaping the personalities and we are shaping the educational capacity and all of the emotional well-being. And so much of what the makeup of a human being is to us today is shaped by the educators of these children when they are young. And that is what the Gemara says, Matzdike HaRabim Kikochavim Li'olam Vay. That is a description of everybody in this room who will have their illumination that will continue to give off light forever, for all eternity. The Gemara Maseches Tainis tells us an amazing story that there was a community that was suffering a drought. It was a dry season and they had no rain and it was a big concern. And the Gemara says that the community came together and they called upon everybody in the neighborhood to come and join for a public prayer, a public tefillah. Then the Gemara says that they came together and they made a public day of fasting, and they wanted everybody to have feelings of introspection. They wanted everybody to think about how they can change themselves and how they can bring merit to the town, that maybe they'll be able to have the opportunity to get rain. Nothing worked. Nothing worked until finally the Gemara says, somebody gets up, takes the yamud, he serves as the Shliach Tzibur, and as he's praying, as he's davening, he says, Mashiv HaRuach. And suddenly the wind starts blowing. He says, Morid HaGoshem. And immediately the rain starts falling and everybody is awestruck. They can't believe it. They're overwhelmed by what they see. Somebody walks over to the Shliach Tzibur and he says, maybe you could tell us the secret. What is it about your life that is so unique? Why is it that the whole community was fasting, was mourning, was praying, nothing seemed to work? Suddenly you stand up and represent us and everything that you asked for comes true. What is so special about your life? Can you tell us the secret? Let's look together what it says, where the Gemara tells us, Amar lo Rav, Mama Asecha HaTovim. What do you do? What's your profession? Tell us how you spend your day. This Gemara's answer is a description of everybody in this room. We all know it well. Amar lo Ani Melamed Tinokos. I spend my day teaching young children, but you know how I teach them? Melamed ani levnei aniyim kevnei ashirim. We all know that there's an inequality in our classrooms. There are very different socioeconomic statuses that our children come from. There are some children who are living off of food stamps, and there are others who are living in mansions, and somehow they end up in our classrooms together, and it's our job to figure out how to treat both of them equally. How to give no preferential treatment to one or the other. How not to just feel sad and guilty for the child who may not have, and to ignore the one who has a lot. Or the opposite direction, not to give more attention to the one who does have, and to neglect the one who needs our attention. Every human being, every child needs our attention. And they need our attention equally. Doesn't matter where they come from, what their background is, what's happening in their home, everybody craves our attention. And the Gemara here says, I'm not just a Malame Tinokos, but I do it with justice. I do it without favoritism. I have no preferential treatment to one student over the other. I am totally unbiased. When I walk into the classroom, I understand that I have a job, and that is to give every student the greatest opportunity they can possibly have, and that is what I do. More than that, he says, if there's a child who cannot pay tuition, I let him in the classroom. And I educate them equally like I do everyone else. Is there a school in our community that doesn't do the very same? And it's difficult for us. Who's going to raise the shortfall? Who's going to go out spending their time trying to raise that money? It's our job. It's what we do. It's not a pleasant part of our job. But we all know that we don't hold it against a child whose parents cannot pay to put them into school. We're going to give them equal opportunity. And we're going to teach and educate their children the same way we would anybody else who might be paying full tuition. And finally, he says, if I have a child in the classroom who's just not engaged, who doesn't seem to be so interested. So the Gemara says, he has a mechilo shel dagim. He had some kind of string that had fish on it. So Rabbi Landsman in the office has a beautiful fish tank. And if I want him to try to be more engaged, I'm going to give him some kind of treat. I don't know exactly what this was, but it was the equivalent of whatever candies they had then. I give it out to the child to try to encourage him to be more involved. And that, says the Gemara, is the individual who stepped up and was able to bring comfort to the community and to bring a miraculous outcome to what the community stood for and what the community needed at that time. When I read this Gemara, I'm amazed. Because that Shliach Tzibur could have been anybody in this room. That Shliach Tzibur and the description that the Gemara gives about him is something that is not unfamiliar to any of us. It's what all of you do every single day, with all of the difficulty, with all of the challenge, with all of the pressure, with all of the uncomfortable feelings that sometimes you have stepping into a classroom, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing how somebody's going to react or respond to whatever it is that you're teaching or saying, knowing that you're not going to be respected the way you should be, knowing that you're not going to be compensated the way you should be, but you step in anyway, and this is a description of what you do. And it's that Shliach Tzibur that we as a community want to represent us. Because it's that person that God appreciates more than anybody else. The person who's giving opportunity to young children and influencing not only the now, but influencing their future and decades of a life ahead of them as well. Just this past week, I attended the 10th annual Siyum HaShas of a very dear friend of mine, Rabbi Yoni Levin, who is an assistant rabbi in Eish Kodesh in Woodmere. And every year I walk away from that Siyum very, very inspired. How my friend learns eight lot every single day, I have no idea. But at the same time, I walk away very dejected as well. I wish I could drop everything I do. I wish I could put all my focus every year on this tremendous accomplishment. I wish I would be able to forego all of my classes, all of my teaching, all of my shiurim, all my responsibilities, anybody I'm meeting with, and just spend all of my time finishing shas and mastering the material the way that he does. And often I'm asked by people, you know, what are you learning? I say to them, I really don't have a lot of time to learn. I'm always preparing. I'm always preparing. I don't have time to focus on my own learning and my own things. I would imagine that many of us feel the same way. Maybe our goal or aspiration is not to master Shas or Shulchan Aruch, but everybody has goals and dreams and things that they want to do, and personal things that they have in mind. They wish they could go for another degree. They want to educate themselves in a certain field. I wish I could get a master's in whatever it might be. And I just can't because I'm busy doing this work, and it's overwhelming, and it takes over my life. I don't know about you, but I feel very bad about this all the time. It bothers me. It bothers me to no end that I'm not able to go after my own dreams and accomplish the things that I want to do because I'm so busy doing other things that are taking all of my time. And the Chasam Sofer in the 1800s addresses this point about himself. I put it here on the page for you to look at as well, where he writes so beautifully. It is undoubtable. Somebody who spends their time educating and investing of themselves to help others, to educate them. Obviously, it's going to preclude me from many of my aspirations, from many of my own personal ambitions. I have a lot of ideas of things I want to do and accomplish, but I can't because I'm tied down to the profession that I have. And at nights when I come home, and I should have been using my time to go after that master's and to try to educate myself and to take more classes and to become a more well-rounded individual, I have to call the parents. I have to do report cards. I have to mark tests. I have to make lesson plans. I'm not able to do all the things that I want to. Reis lechasam sofer, you should know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chafetz bazeh me'od. You should know how much God values what it is that we are doing. God is far more interested in somebody who invests of their time helping and educating children. And even though it means it's going to come at a cost, you're not going to be the greatest Talmud Chacham that you always wanted to be, and you're not going to be the great person who's doing all these kinds of chesed opportunities and projects, and you're not going to run the gemach of your shul, and you're not going to be the president of the sisterhood because you simply don't have time, because you're just overwhelmed. And you're not going to be on the chever kadisha. And you're not going to be doing things that would be extremely meaningful to you. Somehow Mrs. Landsman figured out how to be an educator and a shatran at the same time. Most of us can't do that. I'm not going to be able to do it. And yet, writes the Chasam Sofer, I wouldn't trade it in for the world. Because there's nothing that God appreciates more than somebody who invests of themselves to be a melame Torah la'acherim, to educate young children and to put them on the right path. Let me close with one final comment. I see it's almost 9:30, but throughout the year we do all kinds of mitzvahs, and most of them are a one-off mitzvah. We eat matzah, we shake a lulav, we sit in the sukkah, we light the Hanukkah candles, we lay in the Megillah. We have all kinds of different mitzvah experiences that we do, but there is something uniquely special about being involved in the mitzvah of Chinuch Habanim, of educating the next generation of Jewish children. And that is expressed by the Chafetz Chaim. Let's learn it together where he writes, and with this we're going to close. Hine ka asher Yehudi kire belimed as ben chavera am haaretz Torah. If I am involved in educating a child, and I think the Chafetz Chaim here, when he specifies Torah, he doesn't mean that. He means all of us are educators, and we are putting children on the path to success in life. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, what is our perspective supposed to be when that is what we do? And he says, that child then grows up and becomes a parent on his own or her own. That child then grows up and becomes a communal educator or becomes a communal influencer or becomes somebody who is a contributing member of society in so many different ways. Writes the Chasam Sofer, they all started here. I'm sorry, writes the Chafetz Chaim. It all starts here. It all starts here, and we know it. And he writes, such a person, halo l'schus harishon shelimdu yichash v'kulam. Do we ever take a moment to appreciate the fact, whoever it is that taught that child Aleph Beis, whoever it is that taught that child the first pasuk in Chumash, and the first Mishnah, and the first Gemara, and the ABCs, and the first basic fundamentals of mathematics and science that allowed them to have a successful trajectory of life, do we ever take a step back to appreciate that every moment from life that they experience from that time on is as if we are involved in it? It's built on the foundation of our successful education that we have provided them with. It's overwhelming to think about that. Chafetz Chaim does not stop there. He brings a proof. The terrible story in Chumash of Cain and Hevel. And God turns to Cain and he says, you know, you've murdered your brother. It's a terrible thing. How did you do that? And it's not just for the here and now that I have a problem with what you did, but kol demei achicha tzokim elai min ha'adama. Chazal say, what does it mean, demei achicha? It sounds like a plural language of the many different bloods of your brother are boiling from the ground, are crying out to me. Says the Gemara that that's a reference to not only Hevel, but Hevel's children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and all eternity are destroyed as a result of what you just did, Cain, writes the Chafetz Chaim. God has a claim against Cain for what he did not just to his brother, but what he did to all future generations that would have come from his brother Hevel. Imagine when God looks at any of us. Imagine when he looks at any of us, when we walk into a classroom and we think about who is in front of us. It is not Hevel who stands in front of us. It's not that one individual who is there. It is hundreds, if not thousands, of people who that individual represents. And understand, writes the Chafetz Chaim, that every investment that we give, every little bit that we invest and put into this child, is an investment into eternity, not just for himself, but for everything that will subsequently come from that individual as well. Writes the Chafetz Chaim as he ends off, this is what the Pasuk says in Mishlei V'lokeach Nefashos Chacham. Somebody who makes a choice to invest of their time taking nefashos, plural, many, many, many souls, is a chacham. It's a reference to a person who understands ki kinyan nefashos u kinyan adei ad. That is an investment in eternity. And that is what we all do every single day. That is simply the reason why we do it. Because we believe that the greatest investment of our time is to invest in the eternity of the Jewish people. And there is nobody greater who's doing that than the ones who spend every moment of their day focusing and thinking and worrying and considering how to best infuse of their messages, of their values, of everything that they have to give over to the children of our generation, which will then carry them to their children, their grandchildren, and for all eternity. So thank you everybody again. It was a pleasure to spend some time with you. I hope you enjoyed it. I wish all of you the most successful and meaningful day here together.
I hope you felt he was talking to you, because I felt like you were talking to me. So thank you so much, and Hashem should bless you that you can continue your amazing work, good health, and happiness in many years. Thank you so much.